Certo. Okay. Dear guests and friends, welcome to the third and final session of our seminar series with Dr. Eric Schreibwinkel, titled Turning the Pages of the Openings. In these seminars, we have been reading the first chapter of the encyclopedic work, The Openings Revealed in Mecca, Al-Futuhat al-Makkiyah, penned by the great mystic and scholar Ibn Arabi. Today, as in the previous sessions, we will have 90 minutes together with Dr. Winkel. In the first hour, we will read the remainder of the chapter under his guidance. We will devote the following 30 minutes to questions and comments coming from you, our dear participants. We won't record this Q&A session, and the recording of the lecture part will be available on the website of the Ibn Arabi Initiative, hopefully in a couple of days. Our speaker and guide in these sessions, Dr. Winkel, has been undertaking the Futuhat project to produce the first full English translation of this monumental work in 19 thick volumes. Four of them have already been published, and we are looking forward to the next volumes. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation and for sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us, dear Eric. It's always great and an inspirational experience to meet you and to listen to you. Thank you for joining us. And now it's over to you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hello, and thank you, and greetings, and blessed Friday, Jummah, Mubarak. It's good to see everyone here. Wonderful. So welcome. So let's back up a little bit and move into our the place where we ended last time, so that we can, anyone who's new will be able to stay with us, and we'll starting backwards. It just occurred to me that we'll also be doing what I'm now starting to call looping. And so looping is when Ibn Arabi is always starting in the middle of things. So he starts in the middle and then goes around. And then you ask, well, what was the beginning and what's the end and what's the middle? And the answer is there's not really a beginning, middle, and end. It's a circle. And he's saying everything is a circle. And because everything is a circle, everything tends back to its mercy, its rahmah, its goodness. And so a straight line won't bend. And therefore, if we had a world of straight lines, then we could imagine that there could be eternal hellfire. There could be awful things could always happen and not get any mercy. And Ibn Arabi says that's never the case. Everything is a circle. Everything does come around. And so the world and the cosmos and the universe and all the created beings, we were created as circles so that we would all come around to the mercy, which is in everything, which pervades everything. So this is why when we're talking about Ibn Arabi, we don't go ABC, and we can't find beginning, middles, and ends. We're always finding circles. So to back up just a little bit to one section, we'll come to where the youth has met with Ibn Arabi, and he's now going to speak to him and let him know what the situation is. And we could go back to page 146 and do it from there. So this, the chapter one is the story that Ibn Arabi tells about how he came to see the youth, how he came to write the Futuhat al-Makkiyah, how he came to see written in light throughout the youth's body, everything that he would convey to his beloved circle, and who would then carry on this secret and this message to universally, to everyone else. And we have received it now today, so the transmission was successful. So as a circle, this is the beginning. The chapter one begins with a standard heading, or we think it's a standard heading. And I worked with that standing heading for months. It's only about one sentence, but in that sentence was looped and circled all of the things that we need to know. And I had no idea how rich this loop was, how rich this the sentence was. And so let's just jump straight in. The youth has been ready to see Ibn Arabi, ready for Ibn Arabi to meet him. And And so what that means is that the youth has come from outside of time, has been with Ibn Arabi outside of time. Ibn Arabi has plunged into body and therefore gone from simple to composite. And when he goes from simple to composite, he forgets. And so he needs to spend his life trying to remember what he forgot. And the youth is, in a sense, trailing him, hoping that Ibn Arabi will turn around and see who the youth is. Because in that sense, the youth has always been there. So the youth says to him, when Ibn Arabi has gone through a number of mistakes, for instance, he thinks that the Kaaba is simply a stone, a rock, an it. And so he goes from that mistake to understanding that the Kaaba is a being, and then gives the name he, the pronoun he, to this being. And then later gives the name she, the pronoun she, to this being. So the youth says, I increased the number of times I did ritual acts as part of the pilgrimage, eager in my search for you. So he keeps following Ibn Arabi. He keeps repeating these parts of the Hajj, of the pilgrimage, in order for Ibn Arabi to turn around and say, there you are. If you had not found me here, you would have found me there. So he goes to Muzdalifah, Mina, Arafat. And Arafat, is the secret of the word Arafat itself is that Arafat means she recognized. And Arafat is where Eve recognizes that here is Adam. And Adam finds her on Arafat, Mount Arafat. And Arafat is the word Arafa to, and Marifa to recognize. So what needs to be done is recognition. So we have, I am a treasure concealed necessarily in a treasure chest, lodged inside your chest. And I want to be loved, I want to be recognized. So I introduce you to me, and you recognize me and you love me. So this is the situation, and this lodging that Ibn Arabi is talking about, the youth is saying that he lodged something inside Ibn Arabi. What's lodged inside of him is this treasure chest. And this lodging is something that Ibn Arabi has to remember. So he has to reach this place that's lodged inside to remember who he is before time and who he is now. And he has to recognize who the youth is, who is going to remind him of his covenant. Because the covenant is, am I not the one who loves you? Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your cherisher? Am I not the one who loves you? And he answers, yes, you are. And so to remember that is why Ibn Arabi has something lodged in him, so that he will be able to remember that. So the youth trails him, goes behind him, looks for him, waits for when Ibn Arabi will be able to turn around, see him, and recognize what he needs to know. So we have, then we have the long hadith of a Muslim, Sahih Muslim, and that's when the divine appears in different forms to people, and on the last day. And when he appears in a form that they don't recognize, they get very confused. They say, go away from me, go away from me. And they need to recognize Allah. They need to recognize who God is. And so the youth is saying this and speaking of this event by saying on page 147, did you not see me giving them tajalli, this brilliant radiance on the day of arising, with another image and mark than the one they recognize? They deny my status as Lord. So they deny that I'm their cherisher. They deny that I'm the one who loves them. And that's from, am I not your Lord? Alastu bi rabbikum. So he needs to come in a form that they recognize. And so, but the problem is, we want to be able to recognize the one who loves us without having it be in the same form that we first saw. So this is being able to recognize the divine everywhere, which is the definition of an arif or an arifa, someone who recognizes the divine everywhere. Okay. So then these arifun, these people who recognize the divine everywhere, on the next page, 148, they recognize me. I am not concealed from their sights in the world of the enabled beings. So nothing ever appears to them except me. and they never understand anything to exist except my names. So the, all of the action that's taking place are these divine names. And so they see these divine names everywhere they turn. And so they living in a world which is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, which is a sacred world. They, because they see that everything that's happening is happening by the force of a divine name. So what's interesting is that it's the same world that everyone else is seeing, but they're the ones who are seeing it as a sacred world. And I always was would read Sheikh Noor and Muzaffar Effendi and wonder, they kept saying that we are already in paradise. And I said, what does that mean that we're already in paradise? What that is the secret that what's keeping us from seeing the truth is not that the truth is not presenting itself to us. It's that we're not recognizing the truth when it presents itself to us. So the Arafun, these are the ones who recognize the divine everywhere, and everything appears to them and shines to them in tajalli. And they say, you are the one to be celebrated, the exalted. This is all they do. So this is the difference, is not in what's coming towards the human being, but in what's being received by the human being. So now that takes us to where we are, where we begin on page 148 with the educating addresses and generous gifts given by the secret Kaaba from just being there and circling. So now Ibn Arabi has been followed by the youth through Muzdalifah. If I haven't met you there, I'll meet you there. If I don't meet you there, I'll meet you somewhere else. And now the youth is doing the tawaf, and Ibn Arabi is doing the tawaf, the circling of the Kaaba. So the circling of the Kaaba corresponds to the circling of the angels of the human heart, corresponds to the celestial beings and the celestial bodies all orbiting and circulating. So the first circle, the first course is Hay, the living. So the right hand stretched out and I kissed her, and the form which I had been made to passionately love was joined up to me. He transformed for me into a form of life, so I transformed for him into a form of something lifeless. So inside all of this, how many sentences? One, two sentences. We need to start looping. The right hand stretched out and I kissed her. So the right hand is the hand of covenant. So when you make a deal, you shake on it. And you can shake on it with the hands, or you can shake on it with the kiss like that. So you're shaking, you're either kissing the right hand or you're shaking the right hand. And that means that you're accepting the contract. And the contract, the covenant that's being accepted, is the answer to the question, am I not the one who loves you? Alastu bi rabbikum wa qalu bala. Am I not the one who cherishes you? And you answer, yes, you are. So this is the covenant, to recognize the one who loves you. So the one who loves you then sends you into bodies. And when you're sent into a body, you become composite. And when you're sent into a body and composite, you then forget. And you forget who is the one who loves you. So this is why the covenant has been forgotten and the contract has been broken. And so we need to be reminded. And so if you would say that the fundamental situation of Islam is that people forget. So there's not original sin, there's not other kinds of veilings and alienations. There's simply forgetting. So we need to remember and be reminded. So Ibn Arabi is the path of chapter one is his reminding, being reminded. So he stretches out this hand, and he kisses the hand, because this is a form that was made passionately loved by him, because he knew he was aware that this was the form that loved him in before time, and so. But he transformed, and this is where in all these seven things, he transforms in the wrong way. So there's one way, is that when the living comes, he knows that he sees the living. So he wants to become the lifeless, the opposite of that, so that he would receive. But the way to receive the living is not to become lifeless, it's to become the one that needs life. So he has to learn that he needs to be, how can I transform, but in a way that's correct. And this also is, again, as we always have with Ibnarabi, he's working in different dimensions. He's telling us that we're different dimensions are happening here. So this one is the dimension is where there's not one opposite, but two opposites. And so he transformed into the form of something lifeless, but this is the wrong direction. And so he said, I do not acknowledge her in the seen world as something true and solid. So the problem is not that the right hand was not extended to him. The problem is that he didn't take it correctly. And if we did not have the six attributes of the seven, six plus one attributes of the divine, nothing would be working. So if we didn't already have hearing, we would not be able to hear what is being said to us, which is, am I not the one who loves you? Am I not your cherisher? And if we were not alive, we wouldn't be able to receive life. So we already have to be alive. And this is the part that we already have to be divine in order for the divine to reach us. And so this then, that's now we just have just heard the secret. If we were not already divine, we could not perceive the divine, because only Allah sees Allah. Only God sees God. So then we transform. The third round is knowing. And the opposite of knowing seems to be ignorance, or it means the object needing to know. And four, hearing. We need to be able to hear. Five, we need to be able to speak. Six, desiring. Seven, powering. So then he transferred for me into a form of able and capable. So I transform into a form of unable and destitute. The one form sought allegiance from the other form, and the true displayed to me, the creature, my shortcomings. Okay, so we can go to the next page now. That's the next spread. So we've got these seven rounds around the Kaaba, which is going around the human heart, and trying to understand that this is the house of God. And the house of God is the only place that is spacious enough for God to reside, is the human heart of the slave who is faithful. And the slave who is faithful has to be able to see that the shining brilliance comes to the heart, and has to know that outside the eyes do not see what's being seen by the heart. So that's the dual, the two, that it is Allah and it's not Allah. It's who and it's not who. So the divine tajalli comes to the heart sees God. The eyes don't see God. And so they have this at the same time. If we knowledge is to see at the same time that what I do not see by my eyes, my heart is seeing. And what my eyes are seeing, my heart is not seeing. Then I'm able to be able to encompass and have Allah live inside the heart, the house of God, which is the Kaaba. So when what's missing with Ibn Arabi, what he says is missing, what he lost, was seeing that the right hand that was extended really was the right hand. So it's not that the right hand has, that we don't have access to the right hand. It's that we don't know that we are having access to the right hand. And so that the world looks the same, but one of them is sacred and true and well-pleasing to the divine and recognizing of the divine. And the other is lifeless, ignorant, blinded, deaf, all of these other ones. Okay, so now let's hear his description of after these seven rounds after experiencing.
After experiencing these events, and not receiving the fulfillment of all my hopes and expectations, I said, why did you reject me and not honor my covenant with you? He said to me, you rejected me yourself, my creator. If you had kissed the stone during every circuit, or circular, you would have kissed my right hand. Just here, at this corner, in each of the seven intricate forms. Because my house here corresponds to the thought, and because the rounds of the circles correspond to the seven adjectives, attributes of the perfect whole, not attributes of the sublime fearsome, too great to be comprehended. These are attributes for contacting you and reflexive adjectives. So the seven secrets are the seven adjectives. And the house, the Kaaba, standing in front of you really points to a thought. Even though I send the Kaaba down on my carpet unfurled, and I said to people, for you, this will correspond to my throne, encompassing the universe, and my Khalifa, behind whom I act in the earth, is the one who has settled therein and encompassed the universe. So look at the angel with you, circling and standing at your side.
Very good. And I looked at him, then he returned to his throne, and he passed over me in his palanquin rising high. I smiled with happiness and spontaneously spoke. So Ibn Arabi is saying that, yes, Allah has said that I've sent down this Kaaba unfurled as a carpet. And he said, yes, I have a Khalifa who acts, and I'm acting behind this one. So even though I sent down a Kaaba unfurled on this carpet, still it is my Zat. It is my right hand. It is the house in which I live. It is your heart. So we have Sharia, which tells us if you are an actor, if you are seeing things this way, then that's good. Do the seven laps, the seven courses of the Kaaba, do your tawaf, do the Hajj, do all of these things. If you are a lover, you'll know who you are loving, and you'll know who you're going around, and you'll know what your heart is, and who your heart is, and who is your Zat. So this is the difference between recognizing and then before recognizing. Everyone will eventually recognize in this world or the next or the next. But Ibn Arabi has been blessed and given the grace of recognizing this while he was alive in this world. And these are reflexive adjectives, because life then reflecting life back again. So the way that we turn around and transform is not by being the opposite in one sense, but by being the reflecting in another sense. So the life comes to me and I reflect life. Knowledge comes to me, I reflect knowledge. The divine attributes come to me, I reflect the divine attributes. Now we have Allah's heart to Allah's heart. Beautiful. So he smiled with happiness and spontaneously spoke. So now let's hear that.
O Kaaba, the messengers circle her after the honored ones have circled her. Then after them came a people circling her, among them the high and the low. He sent her down as an exemplar of his throne, and we, angels, are her honored circlers. If one said, of his circlers, I am the more splendid, I am better, do they hear? By God, he did not come with a clear text, and he came only with something not explained. Is this one not simply light circling him, their lights circling, while we are despicable fluid born from semen? The thing is drawn to its like, and we are all creatures firmly implanted like the zygote by his side. Why will they not recognize what they did not see? They circle what we circle, though they are not made of clay as Adam is. If the finest of us were stripped off and abstracted, he would settle as he settles on the throne, on this which the circlers are circling. Declare them too holy to be ignorant of the truth of the one for whose sake God subjugated the worlds. How is it for them? Their information is that I am a child of the one to whom they were bowing down. And they acknowledged, after opposing our parent, Adam, that they had been ignorant. The individual, Iblis, who had refused, felt despair, and he was the most excessive of the deniers. Holy are they, holy are they. They are protected from making the missteps of the ones who do wrong, meaning to do right.
Beautiful, yeah. So one of the Ibn Arabiya said in the beginning, he says that the angels are there always around the Kaaba, and the messengers are all there. And so while the angels are everywhere and you can find holy beings everywhere, you'll find more and the most in Mecca. And so this is why part of the Futuhat in one way could be seen as a letter to his friend saying, go on the Hajj and experience these things. So the messengers are circling, and the angels are circling, and they're circling this heart. And then the question is, what is this Kaaba, and what is the throne? So the throne is the cosmos. The cosmos is the place, and in a shadow play, it's the curtain. It's the curtain, that the screen upon which will be projected all of us. And all of these events and all of these worlds and all these world lines. So when, in this sense, when we look at the shadow play and the mirror, we ourselves are invisible. So when we are on this curtain of the shadow play, on the screen of the shadow play, we see other shadows, and we cannot see the puppet. So the puppet is invisible. Who we are is invisible. All we see is the divine light, which is making shadows, which we are. So then what happens on in Surah Al-Baqarah 230, what happens in the 30th verse is I'm going to make a Khalifa on the earth. And then they ask, are you going to make someone who will spoil the earth, pollute the earth, and shed blood? And the answer is, I know what you don't know. And so this is where we then begin to looping. Are you going to take these beings and make them composite and make them forget and put them in bodies? And when they're in bodies, they'll be made from despicable fluid. They'll be making mistakes. They'll not recognize what's happening. Instead of being like angels like us, who are simple and light beings, you'll make them potentially dark beings in clay. And are you going to be doing this? Is that what you want to do? And of course, Ibn Arabi says that the angels, they also can forget. And so that's why they are forgiven for forgetting this way. He also says because the critique has the critique, are you going to make these beings, these human beings who will fight each other and shed blood, in order to, as a consequence of some of those who said that, they were sent down into the Battle of Badr. So this 5,000 or whatever, the angels were sent down to the Battle of Badr so that they would, in a sense, be punished or shown that here you said the human beings are going to fight and shed blood. Now you get to go down to the Battle of Badr and you get to shed blood and find blood being shed. So the angel, this is a story about then the angels. So why are the human beings created? And Ibn Arabi is very clear, and with beautiful respect and adab, that the angels are superior beings to the human beings. And they are all, in every sense, they are superior. And in fact, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the night ascension, when Gabriel sees things and faints, and the Prophet said, and I didn't faint, at that moment I knew the superiority of Gabriel to me. And that's because Gabriel saw what he was seeing and fainted, lost consciousness, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could see it and still stay awake and conscious. And so the angels in every respect are superior to human beings. Now that being said, Ibn Arabi is also gently reminding us that there is something special about the human being. And what is special about the human being is that the human being is always earth, which means always humble, always receptive. So the human being is always Mother Earth, and that's, and we're made out of Mother Earth. We go into Mother Earth, we come out of Mother Earth. We are always part of Mother Earth. That's who we are. And so we feel individual, we feel like we are individual, but we are individual creases on a carpet, which if that carpet is unfurled, as in the verse, if the carpet is unfurled, we will see that we're all in Mother Earth. We're all in Mother Earth. It's only when the carpet is furled and lumpy that we think that we're individuals. So, and that we have separate and alienated and isolated and individual existences. So this, but this is not a clear text. This is not given as a clear text. This is the mystery. This is the secret. And so it's given for the lovers. And so Ibn Arabi says that that's, it's no mistake that the verses, like the Hadith Qudsi that we just read, I am a treasure concealed and I longing to be recognized. It's no accident that that Hadith is non-canonical, that it doesn't have a proper chain of transmission. And there are other hadith that are absolutely crucial to the secret that Ibn Arabi is telling us. And yet they are non-canonical. They don't have the proper chain of transmission. And the one that has a proper chain of transmission that talks about love, talks about worship. And that's from Quran, that I only created the human being and the human and the jinn to worship me. And this is in order to remove any concept of neediness, any desire for having love reciprocated. Because true love is not there in order to reciprocate. True love is not, the lover doesn't love the beloved because the beloved wants it or says, oh, I would love to be loved by you. That doesn't create love. But this kind of love is you love whether the beloved knows you are loving or not, whether receives your love or not, and whether the love, and so, I am a treasure concealed sounds like that the Zat is asking to be loved. And to remove that is to remove that Hadith Qudsi from the canonical traditions. And so this is why he did not come with a clear text, and he came only with something not explained. And this is to preserve love so that when we do love the Zat, we love her not for anything she's done or she does or that she wants, like she wants to be loved. No, we love the Zat just because we love the Zat. So this, so we may be despicable, but we are also the ones that are able to receive all of the divine attributes, all of the divine names. So when Adam Eve, this lump of clay, is taught all of the names, that's how everything works, because everything now can be reciprocal and reciprocated. So when, because Adam Eve, this lump of clay, has been taught the name the living, they're able to be living when Allah makes them living. Because they've been taught the name the hearing, they're able to hear, am I not your cherisher who loves you? And they're able then to speak, which is a divine attribute, and say, yes, you are. And so, and let's go to the next page. Okay, so that they did oppose our parent Adam, and they do admit that that was wrong of them to do that. Ibn Arabi justifies it and gives excuses and explains why they did that and sets everything right. But for us, it's always important to also remember that we are made perfect. And we are perfectly receptive to the divine. So the problem is not that we spoil the earth and shed blood. The problem is that we don't receive and we don't know what we're receiving. And so when we refuse, then we feel despair. So when we refuse and say that I must be separate, I must be isolated, then we despair like Iblis. Okay? And so mistakes and missteps, that's what we do. And so we get reminded. And so we get reminded that this is the right hand. And you take the right hand and it is your covenant. And you remember that you did know who was the one who loved you. Okay. Good. So now let's, where are we? Let's, so then I'm getting, yeah, so now let's hear the poem one more time. Yeah, excuse me for getting.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Kaaba, the messengers circle her after the honored ones have circled her. Then after them came a people circling her, among them the high and the low. He sent her down as an exemplar of his throne, and we angels are her honored circlers. If one said, of his circlers, I am the more splendid, I am better, do they hear? By God, he did not come with a clear text, and he came only with something not explained. Is this one not simply light circling him? Their lights circling while we are despicable fluid born from semen? The thing is drawn to its like, and we are all creatures firmly implanted like the zygote at his side. Why will they not recognize what they did not see? They circle what we circle, though they are not made of clay as Adam is. If the finest of us were stripped off and abstracted, he would settle, as he settles on the throne, on this which the circlers are circling. Declare them too holy to be ignorant of the truth of the one for whose sake God subjugated the worlds. How is it for them? Their information is that I am a child of the one to whom they were bowing down, and they acknowledged, after opposing our parent Adam, that they had been ignorant. The individual Iblis who had refused felt despair, and he was the most excessive of the deniers. Holy are they, holy are they. They are protected from making the missteps of the ones who do wrong, meaning to do right.
Thank you. Very good. Just a second. Let me. Okay. So then Ibn Arabi says, then I turned a facet of my heart away from him, and I drew near with my heart to my Lord. Though you said to me, you gave succor to your father, Adam, my blessing is loosened to you, so farewell. Hear of the station of the one you were praising and what you sent ahead of goodness before her. And that's the testimony furled up. What is your level compared with the level of the angels made closest? Blessings of God on all of you and all of them and peace. This, my Kaaba, is a heart of being. My throne belonging to the heart is a bounded body, but neither one of them encompasses me. And not reported about me is what is reported of them. My house, which is vast and spacious enough to encompass me, is your heart sought out, set down in your seen body. The circlers of your heart are the secret souls, and they correspond to your body circling these stones. The circlers encircling our encompassing throne are like the ones circling within you in the written world. Thus, just as the body with regard to you is arranged and composed, unlike your elemental simple heart, in the same way is she, the Kaaba, with the encompassing throne. The circlers of the Kaaba correspond to the circlers of your heart, because both the Kaaba and your heart share in being hearts. The circlers of your body are like the circlers of the throne, because of their having in common the adjective of encompassing. So just as the world of mysteries circling the heart, which is vastly spacious enough for me, is the most radiant mansion compared with the others and the highest. In that way, all of you, with the quality of panoramic nobility and mastery, are, compared with the circlers of the encompassing throne, the best. You are the one circling the heart of the being of the universe, and you correspond to the mysteries of the ones who truly know. They are the ones circling the body of the universe, and they correspond to water and air. How can they be otherwise? Other than all of you, nothing is vastly spacious enough for me, and I do not give tajalli in a complete form except in your meaning dimension. Therefore, recognize the measure of what you have been gifted from the highest overlooking post. And after that, well then, I am the great, the elevated over. No boundary bounds me, and no master recognizes me, nor slave. Divinity is too holy and too transcendent for her to be perceived and for any to share with her in her place. You are the vessel, and I am I. And it also looks like, you are the I, and I am I. Ana la ana wa ana ana. So do not seek me within yourself, imposing on yourself difficulty and distress, nor externally to no good end. But do not give up searching for me, or you will be wretched. Search for me until you meet me. Therefore, ascend onwards, but follow honorably with courteous protocol in your search, and be present from the very start with your practice. So you can't seek inside, you can't seek outside, but keep seeking. And seek with courtesy, which means follow the law that has been given to you and your forefathers and foremothers and your ancestors through the prophets, through the messengers. Distinguish between me and you, because you do not see me, rather you see your core self. So of course, stop short at the attribute of commonality that we are in common, and just be a creature. And just say, as Abu Bakr did, the incapacity to perceive what is to be perceived is perception. Stay with that, as did the Atiq, and you will be an honored Sadiq. So this is the incapacity to perceive what is to be perceived is perception. So to know ourself is to know that we are incapable, is to know our Lord who is capable. To know that I do not have life is to know that Allah has life. And I can only know that if I already have divine life. So that's then the secret. Then he said to me, leave my inaccessible presence, as someone like you is not suited for my service. So I left, vanished. Then the presence shouted and said, leave me with the one I created alone. Then he said, bring him back. And I was thrown back, and I found myself in front of him for a short while. It was as if I never ceased being in the midst of his vision and never left the presence of his being. So this is also, you notice that we've shifted into he, and this is partly as the respect of the who, the zat, who is feminine, and partly out of respect that because she is ever inaccessible, we now speak about the one who is accessible as the divine name, the comprehensive divine name, he, Allah. And so and as seekers, you will recognize the same situation when you are led somewhere and you come to the place that you're supposed to be, that you have been seeking, and then you're told, go away, it doesn't work, this isn't the right place. And then you get confused, and then it turns out, well, it was the right place. Then why was it the wrong place? And then it's very confusing. So this is the confusion of the seeker, which is actually a very good thing because it keeps us on our toes. Ibn Arabi says there's no place to stay for 3 days except the place of confusion. That's the only place that we can be stable in. Then he said, how would one come to me in my presence who is not suited for my service? If you do not have the sense of sacred that necessitates service, the Hadrat will not come near to you, and she will toss you away at the first glance. You were there, you saw some of her kindness to you and her generous welcome, which increased your sense of the sacred, and at the moment of her tajalli, your shyness. And that's the shyness when he became bashful and afraid, and that is that knowledge has come. When knowledge has come, you become shy and afraid and embarrassed. And when you see into the eye and you see who is looking at you, so when you look in the mirror and you know who is looking at you, then you've seen the inaccessible, you've seen the sacred. Then he asked, why did you not question me about my ordering you to leave and returning you to your ascension? I know you're an expert in proof and language. How fast you forget, O human being. I replied, the greatness of the vision of your substantive blinds me. I was at a loss because of your gripping the right hand of fealty in your radiant tajalliyat to me. I continued to look again and again, What might come suddenly of good from the unseen? If I had turned in that moment to me, I would have known that from me it was being brought to me. But presence made it so that nothing but she was seen, and that no honored face would be seen but her honored face. He said, "You are right, O Muhammad ibn al-Arabi. So stay fixed in the stance of the unique, and beware of number, because in quantity is everlasting destruction." There then came to pass addresses and reports. I shall discuss them in the chapter on pilgrimage and on Mecca with all the other mysteries. And this is when he talks about the poetry that he writes to the Kaaba. The friend entrusted with my secret said, O generous and sincere friend, you have not told me anything that I did not know already, and it has been made into an inscription that is visible, preserved in my zat. So this has been preserved in his zat. I replied, you have made me yearn in anticipation of your arising and where you arose from, so that I will be predicated on you. So we have subject predicate. He said, yes, you, the exiled arriving, and you, the distant near, enter with me the Kaaba of the Hijjah. This is the house elevated over the veil and the curtain. It is the entrance point of the ones who recognize God, and in there the circlers rest. So when they're resting there, they look exactly like every other pilgrim, but these are the ones who know where they are, and they know who they are delighting in. Thus it was that with him I entered the house of the Hijjah all at once, and he put his hand on my chest. And he said, I am the seventh level of the encompassing of the cosmos and of mysteries of the thing itself and the where. The true made me a segment of encompassing light unmixed, and with regard to all things made me mixed. So this is simple composite. Well, I was, and so he's the simple and the composite. He's the known, the knower, and the knowing. He's the distant near. He's the exiled arriving. So this is his simple and composite. While I was eagerly awaiting for what was being cast to my side or coming down to me, suddenly the teacher, the highest pen, came down onto my thought from his high place, riding a charger that was standing on three legs. The charger lowered his head towards my thought and scattered the lights and the darknesses and blew into my hearts all of the worlds and cleaved my heart and my heaven and taught me all my names. I recognized myself and others, and I distinguished between my bad and my good, and I sundered what was between my creator and my truth. Then that angel turned away from me and said, learn that you are in the presence of the king. Okay. So we'll read this next part. I prepared myself for descent.
I prepared myself for descent and the advent of the messenger. The angels came near to me, and the orbit circled around me, and the all was at my right hand, arriving from the south, coming toward my presence. I saw no king, Malik, come down, nor angel, Malak, shifting from standing in front of me. I regarded some of my sides, and I saw the circular shape of timelessness, and I knew that descending was impossible, so I stayed fixed in that condition. I later informed some of the special ones about what I had seen, and I poured out for them from myself everything I had found.
Beautiful. I prepared myself for descent and the advent of the messenger. So, and coming from the south. And so he's now telling us that when we're on the circle and the compass is drawn the circle, so where's the south? What's coming from the south? And it's coming from the circle. We're looking in front of us, behind us, but we can also look to the sides. And from the south, we're looking at what's coming from inside. So I regarded some of my sides. And so this is when now dimensionality begins to fade and fall apart. And I saw the circular shape of timelessness. So Ibn Arabi says in one of his poems, it's so beautifully said, he says, that what is most wondrous and most strange is that I have never not been outside of time. What is most strange is that I've never not been outside of time. And so being outside of time to be simple and then to be composite. So Bernardi is talking about being outside of time and seeing all of this and being at the covenant and saying, am I not the one who cherishes you? And answering, yes, you are. And then entering into time, entering into body, entering into composite, and suddenly forgetting. And so I regarded some of my sides and I saw the circular shape of timelessness. So he stays fixed in that condition. And later he tells the special ones about what he's seen and pours out for them everything that he had found. And they all, of course, said, yes, this is my experience of that. This is this person's experience of that. Welcome. You are now one of the lovers. So let's read that one more time.
I prepared myself for descent and the advent of the messenger. The angels came near to me, and the orbits circled around me. And the awe was at my right hand, arriving from the south, coming toward my presence. I saw no king, Malik, come down, or nor angel, Malek, shifting from standing in front of me. I regarded some of my sights, and I saw the circular shape of timelessness. And I knew that descending was impossible. So I stayed fixed in that condition. I later informed some of the special ones about what I had seen, and I poured out for them from myself everything I had found.
Thank you. And now, Mark, you want to read that last part now? Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The youth said, I am the ripened meadow, the universal harvest. So lift my veils and recite what is contained, etched in my lines. What you learn from me, put in your book and speak directly in it to everyone dearest to you. I lifted the veils and I observed his etched lines, and there shone to my eyes his light that was deposited within him, all that he contained and encompassed of hidden knowledge. The first line I recited, and the first mystery from that line, which I learned, are what I shall cite now in this second chapter following. And God is the guide, leading us to knowledge and to an evened path. Exalted is who beyond.
Thank you. So the ripened meadow, the universal harvest. So this is the Maidan, the place that we go to, the field. It's a meadow, it's ripened, so it's mature, and it's been there for a while. And the harvest will be the universal harvest. It's the harvest for everyone. It's for humanity. And this is the universality of Islam, that the Prophet is the Sayyid of the Nas, the master of the people, of humanity, the whole of humanity. And the mother community of his is humanity. So all the other prophets and messengers are sent to communities. Only one is sent to all communities, all mother communities, all of humanity. So the youth says, look at me, I'm a meadow, I've been here for a while. And so I'm the one that has been ripened, mature. And what you will get from me is universal. It's what all humanity wants to know, loves to know. And you will recite what's seen inside of me, what's been photographed in me. And then these are lines. These are one line, two lines, three lines. So the first line that he recites and the first mysteries is what he's now going to cite in the second chapter, which becomes the letters. And so the letters are the ways, or is the letters are the medium between the divine and us. The letters are the divine names, which are the medium between the Zot, who is inaccessible and unseen, and we, who are seen and accessible. So the communication is this membrane, which is the way that the letters come to this membrane and then move to us. The divine names are in the membrane, one side facing the inaccessible unseen and the other side facing us. So this is what letters are. And letters only work, if you think about letters today, how do letters work? How do codes work? Numbers work? Letters and numbers are the same in Arabic. So the letters and the numbers, how do they work? So when you send a message to someone, you send letters, or you send, if you're sending digitally, you're sending a binary code. And the other side has to receive that binary code. So I can't just shout to a telephone, to someone's phone and say 00111001101011. I can't just shout a binary code. I have to be transmitting in a way that the receptive can receive. So the same way, the divine, in order to be received, has to create a second place that can receive. And the way that it receives is by having divine attributes. So in order for the divine to speak to us, we need to have the divine attribute of hearing. So this is the reciprocal. And in the middle, the communication, the medium is the divine names, are the letters, the numbers, the divine names. So let's read that one more time. And then.
Youth said, I am the ripened meadow, the universal harvest. So lift my veils and recite what is contained, etched in my lines. What you learn from me, put in your book and speak directly in it to everyone dearest to you. I lifted the veils and I observed his etched lines, and there shone to my eyes his light that was deposited within him, all that he contained and encompassed of hidden knowledge. The first line I recited and the first mystery from that line which I learned are what I shall cite now in this second chapter following. And God is the guide, leading us to knowledge and to an evened path. Exalted is who beyond.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Beautiful. Thank you, readers. It's really wonderful. Thank you.